I enjoy the music. You know, you go to different churches, you get all kinds of music. And I really enjoy these choruses. Y'all sing them in the Wednesday night, you know, fellowship time, and you sing them in service. It's just nice to get something a little different. It's very, very encouraging. It's so good to be here today. You know, there's a spirit in this church that's different than a lot of churches. And it's, you know, I'm glad y'all aren't stuck in the same rut as these people or those people. Y'all seem to have, you know, a little different mold to you. And I really enjoy it. I enjoy the fellowship. I enjoy the people. I even enjoy the food some of y'all cook. Y'all all good cooks. I'm going to try to stick to my notes today because I had a, you know, someone asked me if I was willing to speak today. I said, yeah, I'll speak. I'm not a big public speaker kind of person, and I definitely don't consider myself to be a preacher or a pastor. But I was telling Steve, if you love the Lord and you have something on your heart, you want to share it with people. If it's really something you truly believe, I think I said up here before, if you stuff yourself enough with Jesus, it's bound to come out, right? And but I am going to try to stick to my notes. I have notes all over the table. Just, you know, you have thoughts, and you write down thoughts about different things. But God's had my mind on a certain thought lately, and I've written all these different notes. I got scattered papers, and I said, Lord, how am I going to put these things in a way I can get it out where it doesn't sound all jumbled up? And he gave me grace, and I feel like this is something he really had me to share today. But I wanted to start off by thanking y'all so much for supporting us. It's just such a blessing to, I feel like it was kind of a miracle the way God kind of brought us together. And that y'all support us is just really encouragement. It's a super encouragement. You know, it's funny how we're the body of Christ and how sometimes the body of Christ has a lot of blood over here, but the fingers are dying, you know, because it needs some blood. So God has a way of moving his blood around the body to keep it all nourished. And there's such a need over there in Ukraine. And if you watch the news, which I'm sure you do, it's all over the world. It's just so much heartache everywhere. And, you know, God gave me the burden to go into full-time ministry, not knowing where I was going to go. Then the war started, and I went to Ukraine. And he's blessed me with the heart of being able to enter into their pain, enter into their needs. And when you do that, it becomes real to you. And that's the same thing with the Christian life. You know, when we really believe what we say we believe, it becomes real to us. And so anyway, I just wanted to thank y'all for your giving. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your part in the body of Christ. And I like to periodically think about somebody I'm thankful for, you know. And maybe it's this pastor over here, this person over there. And I had him on my heart yesterday, a pastor in East Ukraine. His name was Mark. Well, he's really not a pastor, but I just want to share a story about a pastor or a guy in East Ukraine who I'm very thankful for. He's become a good friend to me. And there's a church in Slavyansk. Slavyansk, if you look at Ukraine, it's kind of got the north and the east. It's kind of in the armpit of the northeast area of Ukraine. Really, 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 really bad area up there. And this area of Slavyansk has been bombed since the first of the war, but it's not been an area that Russia is technically taking at the moment. So, you know, Russia comes through, and whatever village is in front of them next, or city or town, they just sit there and bomb it and bomb it and bomb it and bomb it till it turns to gravel. And they take it, and they move on. That's what they've always done. That's what they do. But while they're doing that, they're shooting missiles over here because it's high occupancy areas. And so this city of Slavyansk has taken a lot of beating. Well, when the war started, the pastor of this church, actually, he had about 5 kids, I think, and he bounced. He left and went to the United States, and I don't blame him. I respect ones that stayed, but I respect somebody if they feel like they need to go. It's okay. So he left, and this church is it's kind of a 3-story church. It's got a main floor where there's like a fellowship hall, an entry area, maybe a couple little rooms. Second floor is your auditorium with some more Sunday school rooms. And the third floor is kind of built into the roof. It's a lot of, they just turned it into like areas where people could stay, like pastors could stay, people passing through could stay, people that need a place to stay. Well, this church has been hit with 3 different rockets at 3 different times. So this church has taken a beating. The back half of the roof is gone. This other section of the roof is gone. This corner of the building is gone. It's been caught on fire 3 times, but since they build things out of concrete over there, they don't lose the whole structure in a fire. So with the pastor gone, the church has been hit 3 times. It seems like most people would say, you know what? We're going to leave that and try something different. But there's a guy there by the name of Mark, good friend of mine now. And he didn't feel the need to run. He had a heart to stay in this area and help people in this area. So I don't remember how many people were at this church before the war started, but now there's maybe 30 or 40 that meet on Sunday morning, the people in the community there. So Mark has decided to stay in this area, continue to hold some kind of a service there on Sunday mornings, and help the people in the community there and in the villages around this city. And through this, his eyes were opened to another need, which was the military. As guys are called up to be in the military, you know, there's guys just like me and you, just anybody from 18 to 60. They pull you over, you're that age, they draft you, they might just take you. You're just sent to the front line. These guys are scared. These guys aren't soldiers. These guys aren't warriors. These guys are just, might have been a brick mason the day before. And but they don't live in like one big building. You know, they don't have a military camp set up there where they have tents and places for military to live. And these military guys aren't all going to bunk up in one big apartment because this is just a target. So they live in this little house and this little house over here and that little house over there and a little shack over here. And they kind of just live dispersed. Maybe a house someone has abandoned and left because they evacuated. Maybe 10 guys will stay in this little house. So they're kind of just spotted all over the place. These soldiers just kind of living all over the community. And they go out to the field, the front line for 2 or 3 days. They come back and rest for 2 or 3 days. So what Mark did, Mark decided to turn the church into a place of ministry for all these soldiers, because these soldiers are coming from all over Ukraine. This isn't their hometown. This isn't their people. They don't know anybody there. They just happen to be forced to go here, forced to live there, forced to fight. So he got a washer and a dryer, and they create a shower area so these soldiers can come. Different guys come throughout the day, different every day, and they can take showers. They can use good toilets. They can get their clothes washed. And they set up some couches there in the main entry area, the first floor, with a TV on the wall where they have worship music going, where they have messages going. They have, they can sit there and drink tea while they're waiting. So I just want to thank the Lord today for this guy, Mark. This guy, Mark, didn't know why he decided to stay. He didn't know why, what he was going to do. And we support Mark with food. We take him a certain amount of food each month so he can help the people in that community. We take him laundry detergents. We take him things he needs for. So someone like Mark doesn't have any money. The church is half blown up. He's just trying to help who he can help. And then God uses someone like Servants for His Kingdom, who is supported by people like y'all, to help a man help people. The way it all connects and works together is just amazing. That you are helping somebody. They don't even know why they're helping or who they would help. It's not a planned ministry. It's just reaching the people in their community, you know. So I just wanted to be thankful for Mark today. I'm going to try to stick with my notes, because if I don't, I'll be down rabbit trails and squirrel trails. But I would like to ask for prayer for a few things. If you have a pencil and paper today, I do have some interesting things to say that would be interesting to write down. But prayer requests is a big one. And one is for encouragement for Christians around the world. I think Paul says, pray for believers everywhere. And it's hard to do when you don't know people. You say, Lord, just pray for all the Christians around the world, you know. But when you start meeting people, as y'all have missionaries in India and different missionaries in parts of the world, the more you get to know somebody, the more you can pray for them from your heart. So anyway, I ask for prayer for the Christians of Ukraine, the people of Ukraine, but Christians especially, because take, for example, my friend Julie. Julie lives in Kharkiv, and she's one of my translators, amazing translator. I don't know how people are so smart, you know. God didn't give me that ability, but this girl can speak 5 different languages. And she helps me a lot there with translating. If I'm going to villages, if I'm going out to different areas, she'll go and she translates. But she doesn't make any money. She doesn't have a job. She works for the church there in Kharkiv, which doesn't have the money to pay her. And she works with us, which I try to give her a blessing whenever she goes to help translate, give her a few bucks. But in general, she doesn't have any money. And after 3 years of not being able to have a job, you're trying to help a church that's struggling and help a community that's struggling, you get exhausted. It's just the fact of life. You just tend to get exhausted. You just get to where you just don't have any more go. And the only thing that gets you up every day is the fact that your faith in Jesus Christ. So I ask you to pray for encouragement for these people, because so many of them are just so exhausted. I ask you to pray for guidance for the ministry. You know, it's easy to jump up and maybe go a direction and then kind of keep going that one direction. But I think it's important to hear God's voice, his guided voice of which way you should go, which way, you know, when it's time to stop one thing and do something else, you know. So just having an open channel with God for guidance. We will also like to ask you to pray for a ceasefire. We're really hoping that God will work through this new administration to at least get a ceasefire, if not an end to the war, at least to stop the bleeding, to stop the destruction. And provisions. It's really hard to understand sometimes people's needs, people's desperate needs, when people just don't have something. I got a call at 3:30. Maybe Friday morning, Thursday or Friday morning, I got a call about 3:30 in the morning. And he said, man, if you can come across sleeping bags and warm socks, we've got to have sleeping bags and warm socks. And I put myself in people's position. If I'm down to just needing a sleeping bag and warm socks, I'm at the bottom somewhere. I'm pretty close to the bottom. You know, if I'm just really begging for a sleeping bag and warm socks. So I ask you to pray for provision. You know, God has blown my mind at his network program in this world. It's unbelievable how God knows needs and can send something right out of the clear blue. And so we're looking for a resource. Someone said, well, what if we just get them together here and send them? Well, what it costs to buy them here and send them over there? It's cheaper to buy them in Poland or Romania there and get them. So it's which way is the best way to use money, or will God send them? We don't know. But we just ask for your prayers for provisions that are needed to continue helping people who are in such need. I'd like to look at two verses before we get started. One is 1 John 4 and verse 13. And I don't really have a Christmas message today, but at the same time, it's a Christmas message. You know, there's so many messages are centered around the reason for Christmas, which is Jesus Christ. I want to talk about a word today that's been on my mind, like tumbling around in my mind. You know, sometimes God gives you a word to chew on, and you just can't quit chewing it, and you just chew it and chew it and chew it, and you dig and dig, and he blesses you with it. This word is called abide. But what's the reason for you know, we celebrate Christmas because that's when God came into this world. Not so that necessarily we would abide with him, but so we could abide with him. And I've always thought of abide. I didn't really understand the definition of abide till I got into it a little bit. So I'm going to read from, I'm going to read them on my phone because I'm going to use a different version here. I'm going to read from the ESV. 1 John 4:13 is the first one. If you got it, say, oh yeah. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. I'm going to read it again. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. I also want to look at John 8:31-32, the Gospel of John. Chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'll read it again. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So as I was thinking about this word abide, I'm thinking about it, and I was like, do I even know what this word means? So I looked it up in the dictionary, and you know, the word abide in the Bible is kind of like the word love. It depends on what tense it was said in the Greek. You know, the Greek has so many different tenses for something, and it depends on its extremity. You know, and we think of tenses as past, present, and future, past perfect, present perfect, future perfect, these kind of tenses. In Ukraine, they have every verb has seven tenses depending on what way you're using it. And a lot of words in the Greek had different tenses on how strongly it was used or how the variation of its use. So I always thought abide was a word kind of like, that's where you abide there, you live there. That's where you're lodging. That's where you're staying. It was kind of a shallow word, abide. But as I looked it up, I realized some strange things about this word. First of all, the definition used by, in most of the times it's used in the Bible, is a stronger definition of this word abide, which means continuing without change. That was interesting. Enduring, lasting a long time, steadfast. Synonyms are unshakable, unending, and unchanging. Well, that's a whole lot different than I live somewhere. That was his abode, you know, abiding. So now my mind's going now, you know. So I look at how many times the abide is used in the New Testament. Well, it's used 118 times in the New Testament, and it just happened to be used the most by the disciple John, who wrote the Gospel of John and the three epistles of John. In the Gospel of John, he uses this word abide 40 times. In the three epistles he has, the three short epistles, he used it 30 times. So obviously, all of a sudden, it's one of John's favorite words. So I'm starting to think there's something deeper to this word abide than a soft idea of residing or living or lodging. So how do we abide? Of course, prayer, reading the Bible, ministry, actively seeking the Holy Spirit. I got a little note here about the Holy Spirit. We think of the Holy Spirit being an influencer on meetings or certain circumstances. However, the Holy Spirit must live in bodies just as the Savior lived in his on earth. You know, John had a relationship to Christ that was a little different. You know, John loved this word abiding. It was one of his favorite words. He used it a lot. And as we look at John's relationship with Christ, John and Christ had this relationship of love. John really loved Christ. You know, when we look at the Last Supper, John laying his head on Jesus' breast. If I came to your house and I laid my head on your breast, there'd be some eyebrows raised. But there was a real love relationship. There was a sense of abiding. There was a deeper sense of relationship. There was a deeper sense of desire to spend time with each other. There was a deeper sense of care about the other person. Or I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is deeper. So this is the direction I'm going. You know, we all tend to have a desire to have a strong, resting faith. We want our faith in God to be strong. We don't want this doubt. We don't want these attacks. We don't want to question God. We really want this faith that's strong, which we might call a resting faith. You know, and in this resting faith, we find resting peace. But resting peace comes from a resting faith. This resting faith, I want to talk today about, it comes from abiding. And how can we really feel connected with God unless we are truly abiding in him? Our strongest strength in the Christian life comes from abiding. It's our secret to victory in a spirit-filled life. I want to see how many of y'all are like me. I won't ask you to raise any hands, but how many of y'all gotten up in the morning and you got yourself together, got the kids up out the door, and you know, I need to read something from the Bible. You just feel like you need to. That's what you're supposed to do. It becomes maybe routine. Maybe it's because you have a love to read something from the Bible. So you read something, maybe a verse, maybe a chapter, maybe a devotional. You get your shoes on, you get out the door. You forgot something inside. You go back in to get it. You come back out. You back up. You get down the road. Some of the phone rings. Someone pulls out in front of you. You realize you need gas. By the time you get to work, it's been 45 minutes since you left the house. And you cannot remember what you read from the Bible. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but it's natural. Because it's something we know we're supposed to do. Something we know will give us strength through the day. It's something we know will help us. But maybe we didn't really get it, you know. It's natural. It happens to the best of us. I'm going to just kind of go down through. I try to stay with my notes here because I want to get sidetracked. It's so bad. So it's Christmas is when we celebrate God coming to earth, Jesus abiding with us in his earthly body. The Holy Spirit is a person without flesh and blood. We talked about this last Wednesday at the service. The Holy Spirit is without flesh and blood. And he desires to live in us, but he cannot fully live in us as long as self is living in us, right? So the two can't live together. I think about this in my life in the past. You ever seen somebody heading for an elevator and the elevator door closes and the guy runs over, he gets his foot in there, he gets his hand in there, he gets a cheek in there, hoping the door open back up? I see that's where the Holy Spirit is in a lot of people's lives. Got the door cracked. He's trying to get in, but it's so full of self, it's so full of something that he can't get in the door. And now I don't bring this message today to condemn anybody or to say all of y'all have this. I'm just sharing what God's had tumbling on my heart, you know, and how he's encouraged my heart. And I find that as I disciple people, God's given me a love to disciple people. And you can't disciple somebody and spend a week with them, months with them, even years with that person unless you love that person. Unless you really desire to spend time with that person, unless you really desire to help that person, because you'll get exhausted within a couple weeks, a couple months, and you kind of falls away. But when you truly love someone, you want to see that person grow, you stay with them. And that's what the Holy Spirit does with us. He just keeps on, he keeps on, he keeps on, he keeps on. And sometimes we battle it, we know he's trying to get closer with us. But the secret here is abiding. And we talked the other night also about how self cannot get rid of self. So here we are, we're trying to live for God. We want him in our life, but we're full of our own desires. We have a time limit on everything. We have such a structured life, a busy life, and somehow we don't ever take the time to spend in prayer getting ourselves removed and God, the Spirit, ruling and reigning, and then we struggle with victory in the Christian life. I want to speak to the young people, kind of in particular. This is for anybody and everybody, but I know I used to be a young people. And I struggled in my teenage years, going into my adult years, with everything we're talking about. Really having victory in the Christian life. Having some kind of a system that worked for me. I felt like there was a lot of influence in the church on maybe conversion of souls. Maybe there was a lot of influence in the church on really trying to teach people to study something deep in the Word they'd never seen before. But they missed the gap of that discipleship. They missed the gap of growth. They missed the gap of from when someone accepts Christ to, man, now you got to be having three or four of them real thick books on your desk studying the prophecy in Ezekiel 38, and where you need to be sitting over there in Romans 8:1. And I have just something that's helped me in my life that I'd like to share with you, especially young people. I encourage you to get a notebook or a journal, and I do this to this day. Done it for years. I love this. I write down everything that God says to me. I keep that notebook with me. That notebook goes in my car. That notebook stays wherever my Bible is. That notebook is just about, it's just about glued to my Bible. If I read something in the Bible, and something jumps out at me. You can read a chapter, you can read a verse, it doesn't matter. Something jumps out at you, write it down. It could be a journal, a notebook, or something like that. But if something stands out to you in your Bible reading or devotions, write it down. Because it's so easy to forget. And you can go online, you can Google like that, the I Am's list of who I am in Christ, your identity in Christ. It doesn't hurt to print that off. And look at those, read them once in a while. See which one jumps out to you. Maybe I've been washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the spotless Son of God. That's my identity. That's who I am. I am justified. I am forgiven. And write these things down. Maybe you're listening to a song while you're driving down the road or something, and you hear just a phrase in a song that jumps out at you. If you don't write it down, you will forget it. My dad used to say, a short pencil is better than a long memory. And it's true. I used to think I remembered a lot of stuff, but more and more, I have so much I want to remember and I don't remember. And it's the same thing in a Christian life. If we don't write things down that encourage us and reflect on them, take like the promises of God. We have Google these days. You can just Google the promises, Bible verses, the promises of God, and listen to them for an hour. Different verses, the promises of God. And there's one that'll jump out to you and apply to you that won't jump out to your friend. A different one will jump out to your friend because this is, you know, it's all life in Christ, what God's doing in your life. And you write that down. Write down things you're thankful for as you're going through the day. Man, I'm just really thankful for this or that. Maybe somebody, maybe something. Write that down. And read the Bible at least 5 out of 7 days of the week. Some people say, you should read the Bible 7 out of 7. Well, sometimes we just don't. But it's a good goal to read 5 out of 7. And I have a little structure I'm trying to get across to you. If you read your Bible on Monday, and you wrote down something that was interesting to you, and you kept that notebook with you, and you wrote down something you heard out of a song, and then you heard of something during the day, someone said it was encouraging, you wrote that down. You just wrote a couple thoughts down that just jumped out at you. You wrote them down on Monday, and you did that on Tuesday. Come Wednesday, you forgot to read your Bible, but you came to your Bible study, and something said there was interesting. You wrote it down. Same thing Thursday, same thing Friday. By Saturday, you won't remember what you wrote down on Monday. Even though it meant something to you, you most likely won't remember what you wrote down on Monday, most likely won't remember what you wrote down on Tuesday. But you can go back and read it. And if you ever read something that was encouraging to you from a few days before, it'll be encouraging to you again because it was something that spoke to you. So then you can pray over it. Pray over this list. Pray over what the things that God, that jumped out at you. Pray over these things and pray over things that maybe someone said. And when you say, man, that was a really encouraging word that person said, it'll remind you to pray for that person. Now your prayer life is growing. This is abiding. This is simply abiding. Sometimes we think, I know the way I was raised and the way I thought for a long time was it's supposed to be harder than this. It's supposed to be deeper than this. It's supposed to be something over my head. I don't know what the thought was. Maybe it was just Satan always attacking me in life. But it doesn't have to be that complicated. You know, God speaks to you best on a real simple level. And the only way to get to a deep abiding is start with a simple abiding. And this is just such an important word. Because abiding is such an important part of who we are and our relationship with God. It's the center of our relationship with God. Is spending time with him and abiding with him. So anyway, this exercise will keep you simply abiding. This exercise will also, the more you just write things down that you think of, the things that encourage you, the more you pray over these things, this will generate into what you call guided prayer. Let me give you an example. I was praying last week. And periodically, we were talking about self can't get rid of self. So I was praying a couple weeks ago, or last, maybe a week and a half ago. And periodically, God will put on my heart, we need to get some more roots out. We need to get something out that's been stuck in there. I want the Holy Spirit stronger in my life. But, you know, he doesn't do it all overnight. This abiding is a lifelong process. It doesn't happen overnight, but it starts with simply, starts somewhere that you can get handles on, you know. But I was talking to him one day, and I said, God, I feel like you want to get something out of my life. Don't know what it is. And it wasn't long before he exposed it. I said, God, you didn't have to touch that. That was a deep root. It was forgiveness for somebody. And I told God, I said, but God, I've forgiven him. I've forgiven him many times in my life. And, you know, when you get into prayer, you know, it's easy. Prayer can be just, you know, just, Lord, we thank you for this day. We ask you to have some quick prayer. You say something to God. But when you sit down with those notes, as I was talking to you about, and you pray over all the things that God talked to you about that week and different things he impressed upon your heart, and you just start sitting there bathing in him and just really wanting to spend some time with God and the things that he has done for you, this prayer can get interesting because he desires to speak to us. But he can't speak to us when we only give him a couple minutes, a couple seconds. You know, you can take those notes from your week, Monday through Friday, and you're reading over them and praying with them. You can spend an hour with God like that. And it's precious time. And it's that what you're looking for with that growth, that closeness with God, that victory, to feel that victory. And so I talked to God about this problem, about this forgiveness. And I said, but God, I did forgive him. I forgave him. And God told me, he said, yeah, but every time he gets brought up in a conversation, it bothers you. And you even comment on it. That's not forgiveness. And God's telling me, talking to me. We're having a conversation. I said, yeah, but, and he's explaining some things about forgiveness to me. And I said, well, God, how would you forgive him? And he gave me five words, as if it never happened. I said, yeah, but God, remember, we forgive, but we don't forget. He said, no, that's not forgiveness. He said, you expect me to forgive you and forget? You want me to forgive you and forget? You should share the same forgiveness. So it's this, that guided prayer. And you can get in this guided prayer if you really get interested in abiding. This abiding is just the Holy Spirit trying to come in, trying to work in you, trying to grow in you, trying to. He wants to. He wants to. You know, people say life, Christian life isn't a bed of roses. I beg to differ. I enjoy the Christian life. The closer I get to the Holy Spirit, the more bubbly I am, the more just excited I am, the more I just love people. I love the things of God. I love growing in him. And it's painful sometimes the way he tries to get us to grow, but it's always so refreshing. My next point was guard your place of abiding. It's so interesting how we take a step forward in our faith, and before long we just take a step back. We kind of do this for years. We go a little bit, kind of get closer to God, and we step back. But guard every little bit. Say you start spending more time with God, you find a deeper way to spend time with God. You find a new way to really abide, and you find interest in there. If you don't grow anymore, stay there. Don't fall back out of that, because I guess I see so much defeat. I was talking to a guy last week, 2 weeks ago or so, and this guy used to love the Lord. This guy loved the Lord. This guy just was always, he's at every Bible study. And I saw him, I said, "Bud, you look defeated." He said, "I am." I said, "Why?" And it wasn't because he quit reading his Bible. He still reads his Bible every day. It wasn't because he quit praying. He still prays.